If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Welcome to Bottoming, the LGBTQ mental health podcast about rock bottoming and beyond.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BottomingPod or visit bottomingpodcast.com for more content relating to each episode.
We've also added a support page to the website to direct you to the right place if you're struggling or need someone to talk to.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts. Hi, I'm Brendan.
And I am Matthew, and our pronouns are he and him.
That they are.
1 week?
It's just been a week. What's happened? We are just firing them out like nobody's business.
I mean, I'd say it's more even and out, isn't it? Because it was 4 weeks between the last two, so we're just dropping this a week after the maths, you know, the maths are doing the mathing.
Exactly, and do you know what? Guilt actually pays off sometimes. We've got a lovely treat for you today. Another pop star. So this pleases Matthew a hell of a deal. Someone that I wasn't very familiar with at all before Matthew introduced me, like many obscure, never been heard of, never been seen musicians, because he's so indie and alternative and like extra. Joseph Selvat. Go on, tell the dolls about him.
Yeah, the dolls. I want to, again, similarly to like everyone, the wish list for bottoming is big, and Joseph Selvat has been on it for quite some time. He released one of my fave albums in 2020, Modern Anxiety, and also one of my fave albums of the year so far, Islands, this year. And he's just great. Gorgeous visuals, beautiful songs, incredible production, just all round absolute angel. So yeah, when he said yes, job done. Well, not job done, he said yeah, the job began, but big tick on that part of the wish list. Yeah, it was an absolute joy chatting to him as well.
He said he liked your accent though.
He did.
That's a big plus.
Is that in the episode or have you cut that one out?
No, it was before we started recording, babes. I'm so sorry.
Okay, we'll take that as fact, listeners.
Shall I pretend that I'm him? Oh, g'day, mate. I really like your accent.
Wow. I mean, that's... of all the things to get us cancelled for, it's going to be that shit Australian accent you just tried.
Hey, I've got relatives in Australia. God.
Australia?
Don't really know her.
It's one of those bloody days.
Right, come on. How are you?
You know what? I've had a bit of a week, but it's not like not the worst week. It's not the worst of weeks at all. But you know, depression is something that I forget I have it. Like very frequently, I'm just like I obviously take pills every day, mm-hmm. but it just seems like a vitamin these days. It doesn't seem like it's for anything, you know, serious. But sometimes it just creeps in and can take me by surprise. And just, yeah, I had a couple of days last week, Thursday and Friday, and I described it to you as low and slow, which is a cooking reference. I think if I was to describe my anxiety, it would be on a high boil, you know, pop, pop, like bubbling.
Oh, that was lovely ASMR there, yeah.
Okay. Bubbling over, you know, exploding, blah, blah. But low and slow. But the good thing about cooking on low and slow is, Matthew, is it enriches the food.
It does,
and makes
so
it
tender.
More full of body, so tender, depending on what you're cooking, and rich, delicious.
Rich is a long
rich
shot.
In life. and I just accepted it for what it was, did what I needed to do, which was not necessarily do any friend seeing or like external plans, and just, yeah, relax, had a bit of time in bed, and then did some cycling still, did some walking. What I used to do was very, I think that was the only thing I'd feel for the rest of my life, but it was very much like I knew it would come to an end eventually. And it did.
Yeah, lovely.
Which is good. Another good thing is, so last Sunday, it was Father's Day. The day of all days, I had to get rid of two of my baby cats, which was sad. But then we get a call midweek saying, would you like a mother of four? A cat, not an actual mother of four. They turned up on Thursday, and they're just the cutest little babies. So four kittens, they must be 2 weeks old, and we have to bottle feed them and all sorts. Very, very gorgeous. So I'm loving having cats in the house again. I'm a cat boy. What can I tell you?
Mega daddy.
Excuse me?
Mega daddy.
Mega daddy.
Well, you meant you started this conversation with it was Father's Day and the cats went. And now you've just said. So I was just, you know, linking it back full circle.
I just didn't think it would happen to at this point in my life. So that's where I'm at, Mecca Daddy, apparently. Yeah. Where are you, babes? How are you doing?
I'm okay. I think last week when we did that last episode, I felt very energised. Just come back from 2 weeks off. So I was like mentally and emotionally feeling well-rested, maybe not physically, but... Yeah, I really needed that time off. So doing that interview and releasing the episode and the museum project launch, and that was already exciting. I think over the weekend, though, just given the general state of the world, it just, I think especially the news from Oslo as well about the mass shooting and the LGBT club that was targeted. I think that alongside like the Roe v. Wade news, like all of that sort of stuff where you just see now after years of this like horrible back and forth media narrative, all this shit, you actually now see how that plays out in like real time and like the actual things that it's causing. So yeah, I think I felt a little bit up and down similarly to how you were describing it this weekend. And yeah, like there's days where I'll forget that I'm taking antidepressants as well, but I had to reorder them this morning. And you know, whenever you reorder them and you do that little questionnaire to like check on your score, and I haven't felt any anxiety for quite a while actually, which has been really nice, even though there's been loads of stuff going on. But I think just general mood level and motivations and energy levels have been in a bit of a dip maybe for the last week or so. Last like half a week. So it's obviously the score was a bit higher than it has been maybe previously, but I think that's just an up and down thing. So I was gonna say, yeah, similarly I feel like I'm on the way out, but
those scores are quite good to to check on yourself a little bit, aren't they? Because you can forget to... I don't know, they're very specific questions, obviously, that they have to ask.
Yeah.
And so it is good to ask yourself those questions, because you aren't just thinking about those questions day to day, because otherwise you just drive yourself absolutely mad. It's like, am I feeling okay? Am I...
Yeah.
It would be unbearable, but every 3 months, so I think it is quite a nice touch base, but also if you're not in the right space, it can be like, oh.
Yeah. Oh. I still have to do mine every month.
Oh, really? They haven't done
No, so I only get 4 weeks. So every 4 weeks, I have to do that check-in. And, like, last month, for example, I remember the score was... It was, like, basically nil. And I was looking at the questions and I was thinking, oh, God, I feel a bit silly actually answering these, because all of them were non. Like, not at all, or, you know, non this week or whatever. Whereas, yeah, this morning when I did it, it was a little bit different. And I was like, oh, there we go. That's how the dips and the ups and downs work. But I'm good other than that, I think. Just other than the general crumbling of the world, I'm good. I go to Rwanda next week with work, which is exciting. I'm really looking forward to that.
Next Friday.
Oh my gosh. I think it's quite an interesting Pride month, to say the least, isn't it? Just supporting strikers and seeing conversations about all of our identities and all that sort of shit. So, yeah, sorry I couldn't be more positive this morning, but...
I think it does tie into the interview quite a lot, actually, because one of the main things that Joseph was saying was he was talking about the ebbs and flows of, like...
Mm.
The one quote he said that I remembered was, like, when life deals you a shit sandwich, the last thing you can do is to push it away, because it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think it is just a case of rolling with the punches and taking it as it comes.
Yeah, for sure.
And last time you kind of ended it with your boyfriend Sam was going to try some video games. Word on the grapevine is he's had a go at Tomb Raider. What's his thoughts? Tell us.
I mean, let's just say I've had text in the middle of the workday saying, hi, can I come over? Hi, can I play now? So let's just say it's very much on the way. He's still adamant that he doesn't want to play Fortnite.
We'll see.
We will see.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Okay?
Well, it sounds like it's hooked, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I think, as we said before, Tomb Raider is going to be the gateway.
Tomb Raider,
I barely know her. We'll see, is all I'm saying.
Time will tell.
Yeah, this is a new segment.
Yeah, what should we call it? Like, Sammy T Tries Gaming.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing we didn't actually touch upon last time was the fact that Big Boys officially came out after our episode. And... you finally finished it last week, didn't you?
It took a little while to get... We binged the first 3 episodes, and then the last 3 took a bit of a while, just because we wanted to watch it together and timing, so we were away and stuff. So, I thought it was amazing. I think the way it was written, the references, all of it was amazing. One thing that took me back a bit, I think maybe because of the interview we'd had, and the knowledge before the show, is I think I expected it to be one way, to end one way, but it ends a very different way. Which I think, as we discussed before, like over the weekend, was a really like almost a retelling, a hopeful retelling, wasn't it? Which was just very, very heartwarming.
Yeah. But, and devastating.
I know, and hearing that self-esteem thing, I think it played out like episode 5.
Yeah.
Which, I think it was an incredible piece of television.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you haven't listened to the Jack Rook episode, 2 episodes back, off you go.
Get off your fucking ass. What's that Kim K thing?
I feel like nobody wants to work these days.
I feel like nobody wants to listen to Jack Rook these days.
Get off your fucking ass and listen to Jack Rook.
Listen to Jack.
So back to this week's episode.
Yes, we forgot where we were. So here is Joseph Selvat.
My name's Joseph Salvat. I am he, him, and I'm a singer from Australia.
Gorgeous. So you're a couple of months off the back of your latest album, Islands.
Yeah.
How has everything been with you since then?
Look, it's been good. I mean, it had been a long 2 years before Islands came out, because as Morning Anxiety became pandemic, then after the pandemic I did this EP, which was like this horrible breakup EP. And then I spent like a year and a half recovering from that. But so Islands came at the end of this quite a long process after sort of mid 2020 to the beginning of 2022 of just a lot of therapy, a lot of work, and a lot of like wondering what was going on, and a lot of good things happening in my life as well. So like meeting my current partner and that situation and that sort of stuff. And then, yeah, I'm making a lot of good decisions. So Islands is kind of the close of a particularly sort of nonstop 2 years, but also I see Islands as the end of a sort of triptych for me personally from my first album, Night Swim. So basically it came out and I never know how I'm going to feel when an album comes out, or what I'm going to do straight away afterwards or anything like that. I just wanted to sort of sleep in a good way, not in a like, I need to go to bed. Just like, I just want to rest now. And and that coincided with me going home for the first time in 2 years back to Australia. Sweet, I still call it home. I was living in London for like 10 years and I've been living in Europe for like 12 years now. So, but it still does feel like home. It's that song that's on every Qantas ad. I still can't stay at home. So I went back there and I was only meant to be there for 5 weeks. And then that trip ended up being 2.5 months. So I just sort of went to ground and slept and patted myself on the back and hung out with my family and I wasn't actually conscious of the fact that I was doing it at the time, but it was proper like it's a total cliche, me time, but it was that. I don't think I've ever really known what that meant, but that's what I've done for the last 4 months since that album came out. I wasn't even that fast promoting it. I was like, there, it's out, go, take it, enjoy it or don't, I don't care. I'm really proud of it. Now I want to go and hang out with my mum and dad. And my friends and stuff like that.
No, I mean, it feels very deserved, especially as you said, like Modern Anxiety came out, what, like a month or two into the very first lockdown in 2020.
It was the first month of the first lockdown. It was the worst timing, actually. If it had come out 2 months sooner, would have been fine. Even 2 months later, once everybody figured out how Zoom worked, fine. But that particular time, everybody was just like, I guess work's cancelled until the end of the pandemic. Everything was done. Everything was over. So I mean, it was a bit of a nightmare, really. But,
rest time is very, very, very deserved, especially with all the stuff you put out across those 2 years as well. Like, I don't know how you've managed all of it, to be honest, with various lockdowns and all different shit going on.
It was actually easy. I had to. Like, I mean, there's this thing about, like, if life's giving you a shit sandwich and you keep trying to push it away, the shit sandwich just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So you kind of have to roll with it. And I think that my version of pushing away the last 2 years was to like keep working, do more. And then, like, it goes back to the question you just asked about Islands and after it. It's like, eventually I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna submit to this and see what happens. And that was beautiful. So but I mean, it's all sort of, it all feels like the right timing and stuff.
Just a fangirl for just a little minute. Islands, I thought the EP was great. Obviously it was quite a dark, you know, thing that it went into, but Modern Anxiety as well. I think they've all been amazing, and it's nice to hear you say that Islands was almost like the ending of the kind of series of things, because it definitely felt like that as well. Like, super bold, all really, really fun as well, sex positive,
so
which we always
glad.
Love
all of that. I'm so glad you say bold. I'm really glad that, because I don't think, like, I mean, I think that It just means that you got it, or at least got what I was trying to do. I think that's great, because some people, I think some of the reviews are amazing, and some reviews were like, oh, it's very safe. And I was like, it's not safe at all coming from me. I've never done anything like that. It's actually really scary. But I'm glad you said that. Thank you.
Yeah, because I think it was maybe around the time, it was either the single release or when the full album came out, you were kind of like, the response you got to a few tracks was like Marmite. It was like one or the other, Promiscuity and So Light as well. And I think I saw one of the tweets, I think it was a tweet or it was an Instagram story where you were like, So Light is actually about this, this and this, because I think someone had said it was... You're like, oh, is that all? Yeah. And it's with stuff like that.
So deserves fuckboy lyrics. They were like, oh, the lyrics are pretty light. I'm like, the song is literally called So Light, guys. Like, that is the point. It's all just one big joke. That's like, Jesus.
Catch up. Yeah. How did it feel making those songs after the EP, especially? Like, being able, did it feel like a release?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because I actually started work on Islands before I started writing the EP. Mm. So Modern Anxiety came out, and then like the summer happened. So Modern Anxiety came out, when was it, March or April or something? And then the summer happened, and then basically in September, early September, I went to Sweden and started working on Islands. And then had just had this horrible experience. Which is, I mean, it's funny, those sorts of breakups, they're not like, it's often not actually about the end of the relationship or the breakup. It's more about what you're forced to accept about yourself and your own unhealthy patterns and all that sort of stuff. And my whole like self-concept just shattered into 1,000 pieces after that. So that's the state that I was in when I started writing Islands, which actually in hindsight, I think was fantastic. And then I went away and wrote the EP just to sort of focus on that, that emotion. And then we came back, so that was September. And then we were working on Islands a bit more in December. And then we came back in March of 21. So this is 2020 I'm talking about. In March 21, we finished it off sort of towards the end of the summer. So there were four distinct periods of working on the record. And I was pulling myself out of something. And the record really was a bit of a, it was a support, basically. Mm. It's a very positive album, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's an album also about acceptance.
Yeah.
Of everything, like what you're brought in life, who you are, like with the cards you're dealt, whatever happens, it's just like, just roll with the punches. And I think that's what I was trying to learn to do. I mean, often I write songs, I've got absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. Or I certainly, like a lot of them are quite aspirational. Like, God, I wish I was that kind of person. Just one like that, but I can't.
Yeah.
And I think that over the course of the last 2 years, I was sort of growing into the person that I had been hopefully writing about when I wrote the songs of Islands. And so Islands is kind of like this branch, like I was like stuck in a river or something, and I was like holding onto a branch, like slowly pulling myself up, out of the river and onto this tree, onto this big, beautiful, safe tree, and that was, or onto an island. You know, it's like an island in the midst of madness. So that was it, and so that's what it was like. Okay.
Mm. No, honestly, it's so good to hear you talk about that as well, because I think, as I said, like from listening to it, I personally think. You can sense that journey as well through them. Hearing you say that, I know that's, I love that. Enough fangirling.
Thank you. I'm very touched. I'm really glad you took that away from it. That's great.
So going back to Modern Anxiety, which, like we said, was released during lockdown, you covered some really relatable topics in there. And the songs and lyrics were very gorgeously open. Another gorgeous there. Have you always approached your songwriting in that way, especially being open about your identity?
I think so. I think so, definitely. I mean, maybe not to the same extent, but like one of the earliest songs I ever wrote was that actually made it onto a body of work was Hustler. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I wrote Hustler when I was like 20. And then that was on Night Swim, and it was one of the, and I released it for the first time midway through 2013. Night Swim was released at the end of 2015. I mean, that's a pretty open song. The video clip was like also pretty clear. I thought so. I think so. And I think actually I'm not like, I kind of, another reason why I say Islands is a bit of a close to stuff is because I feel like I've done that a lot. I've written songs about about myself, about my experiences, to hopefully be understood. But also, I think there has been definitely quite a cogent hope that I've had that other people will listen to them and somehow help me back. Even if it's not like in a verbal or physical way, it's just like in the ether consciousness kind of way. And I definitely think that that's happened, and that, you know, or at least I can share my experience. I think there's a lot of value in sharing your experience with people. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really always why from a lyrical standpoint, that's always where I come from, is to try and understand something myself first, get it out, and then share and explain it with other people, and bring some romance to it, and bring some color to it. So if it's a heavy subject, it's not just heavy, and if it's a light subject, it's actually rooted in the reality of existence, which is like both glorious and terrible, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I think I've always written about that sort of stuff. I don't think Modern Anxiety, I mean, definitely the PRM on it, Modern Anxiety, was that it was very, like, you know, very raw and honest as an album. But I mean, Night Swim 100% was too.
Yeah.
And I think now moving forward, I'd really like to tell other people's stories. Like, I want to, I would like to move from the self out and become a little bit of an observer and write about what I observe. And I mean, that is still, I mean, you always, anytime you create work, it's always your experience. Your perception, your observation, or your actual lived experience, autobiographical, but you're always coloring something with your particular slant. So.
Thinking about what you just said about kind of looking outwards instead of retaining that kind of introspection, I actually think me and Matthew probably relate to that in a very different way. But obviously your kind of method and your medium is through song and your visual mediums as well. But for us, the podcast started out very, not self-indulgent, but very about us and about our experiences. And it was very, very heavy, and it was quite hard to approach everything, and it only lasted the first season, only lasted 5 episodes, because we're just like, ugh, like it's just so thick, like get it off. Whereas now, and coming back, we made a really conscious decision to try and highlight as many other people's stories as possible, and also speak to so many different people. And in its way, in that way, although we're kind of not directly looking inward, it does have an effect on us and our mental health and our identity within the community specifically as well. And I think there's something really of value about that.
I think it's a tremendously rewarding experience, isn't it?
Yeah,
I can totally see how that would be. I mean, I think that's a natural process. Use the word self-indulgent, and I think I think that's a totally appropriate word to use. And I don't think that people use self-indulgence as like it's got very negative connotations, right? They're like, oh, it's so self-indulgent. It's like everything starts from that place, whether people are saying it or not. Some people are better at making it look like it's not self-indulgent, but like that's just part of that. That's part of any creative process, is a degree of self-indulgence. I mean, you have to have enough self-indulgence in the first place to say other people need to listen to what I'm doing. Like, just that itself is quite a self-indulgent activity. I think we need to remove the stigma from self-indulgence and like put it in its proper place, which isn't something permanent, as you said, because it's something that you evolve from. But I think it's really got an essential element. I don't think it's anything to feel shame and embarrassment about, but I totally understand that process that you've been on. It is very similar to what I
Well, we will own self-indulgence here.
Own
now.
Self-indulgence. not as a guiding principle, but definitely as a necessary step on the path.
Perfect.
There's one song in particular that I want to talk about, mainly because of the topic. Paper Moons. It was one of my favorites immediately before I kind of dug a little bit deeper into the context, and I saw a few interviews around that song especially as well. I don't know, it's up to you how kind of deep you want to go.
I don't know. I think it is actually something that needs to be talked about more candidly. So I mean that song, so chemsex is the topic that we're talking about right now. That song was written at like 2 in the afternoon on a weekday, after my friend, who is an ex, is in New York, and he would call me every morning at around 7 a.m. And it would be like, or maybe 8 or 9 a.m. actually. I don't know what it's like. I can't remember the difference of time between them. Anyway, it was like the end. It was early morning for him, like late morning, like early end of the night kind of thing for him. And he was up, and he'd always be in the state of this, in like a total crisis state, like in fits of tears, full of shame, angry, lonely, scared, angry with himself. And just have had like gone on like a rampage, and he was doing like every night. He was taking crystal meth. And like, this is a really bright, beautiful, otherwise incredibly healthy, normal person. You know, I think that there's a real stigma still today of like, once you push past drugs that have now become acceptable, like, I don't know, like cocaine, LSD and ecstasy, anything beyond that is, or you must be some kind of deranged junkie or something like that. It's like, no. This stuff is, it can touch it. It can touch everybody if you are interfacing with a certain type of community. I mean, and I don't know, it was just, I was frustrated and I was pissed off because he made me like to a session, because it's like, you can't hang up on somebody when they're like that. And he just, and we'd spoken for 4 hours and it was going on and going on and going on. And he just didn't want to help himself. Mm-hmm. He was wallowing in his agony, which I also think is a necessary part. So we talk about like self-indulgence being a necessary part of the system. Self-pity, that type of self-indulgence, wallowing, it's going to happen when you're in a sort of traumatic space. That's going to happen, and it's part of the process, and it's okay. I don't think I understood that so well at that time. Mm-hmm. I might have done well with a little bit more compassion and empathy, and a little less like, I can be really hard with my friends. I'm like, well, like, this is your problem and this is how to solve it. And if you're not solving it, then well, go fuck yourself then. Like, you know, I'm not interested. Like, if you're your own worst enemy, I don't think I really understood it. Sometimes that isn't the answer. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you just need to be exactly where you are for as long as you are. And hopefully you get out of it in time. In his case, he did. Mm-hmm. Before you've done irreparable damage to yourself. Mm. But then even what is irreparable damage? Like, I guess that's just death, right?
Yeah.
So, he pulled himself out of that, but that song came out of a space of deep frustration, from my part as a friend, and sadness of the relationship as well, because it was just like, it was impossible to have a relationship with
him. Yeah.
Mm.
And I was mourning the loss of that as well. But, I mean, I had been not exactly where he'd been. I'd never taken crystal meth, but I'd definitely been in situations like that myself a few years earlier. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I never said at the time of the album. I wasn't very clear about that. And so I had given him a lot more latitude than, you know, I mean, this has been going on for 3 or 4 months, but it's a really important topic. And I don't think it's a topic that needs to be talked about with shame or I mean, it can't be, it's not, I think it's very like, otherwise there's no space. It needs to be aired and ventilated, and it's pretty common. It's pretty widespread, and it affects and touches a lot of people. So. And it's not necessarily a dark, negative, bad thing, you know, it's just how I think if you're doing something that is having negative effects in the rest of your life, then it's not good for you. And we don't need to draw any more judgments beyond that.
Yeah.
In my case, it was something that was really bad for me, so I had to stop it. In his case, it was something really bad for him, so so he has to stop it. That's as simple as it is. I mean, you know, like, as I said earlier, I stopped drinking because it's just not good for me to drink. I don't think everybody has to stop drinking. I don't even think alcohol is necessarily a bad thing, but for me it's not good.
Yeah,
it's not good. So
it is, it's funny because this is season 4, we've had like tens and tens of episodes at this point, and since season 1 we've had on our little like wish list of episodes to cover specifically chemsex and specifically like drugs and sobriety and all of those things, and we haven't got to the point yet where I think we're ready to do that episode. Like, whether that's, and we talk about always trying to remove stigma and shame and all of these different things, but yet we're both still nervous to talk about them on an episode.
I mean, this is the thing, I released an album and I wanted to talk about all this stuff, and then I realized I can't talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how to talk about this stuff because I haven't figured out how I feel about it inside of myself yet. So how can I then start talking about it externally? You know, like, at that time, I didn't think it was okay. You know, I didn't think, I thought it was a terrible, terrible blight on an otherwise extraordinarily gorgeous, beautiful community. I thought, and I don't agree with that opinion anymore that I held then. But that was where I was coming from then. I was coming from a place of yeah, like a lot of internalized stigma about it, a lot of internalized shame, as if I needed more of that, you know, and I wasn't ready to talk about it, but I'd released a fucking song about it. And I found myself in this really strange situation where I was like tiptoeing around things, and I was just like, you know, and then you just end up sounding a bit bullshit. But I completely get that, why you wouldn't have spoken about it yet, because it's tricky stuff to talk about, because also we're also worried about what other people are thinking about our opinions, right? At this point, I don't care about that anymore.
Yeah, I think that's why I wanted to discuss this song particularly, because, and maybe that was why I connected with it straight away. Like, I worked in East London gay clubs for a few years when I first moved to London, and it was like 2012 to 2015, like the dark days, I think.
Yeah, it was bad then. That's when I was in it. That's when I got into it. It was rife in London. It was everywhere. You couldn't go on Grindr without saying, like, getting off. I mean, like, I went for like innocent little like hookup, and you know, 2 days later. It's just like, well, whoops, how that?
And I saw so many people get caught up in it, and you know, I think I saw a photograph of myself one time, and I was like, I look like I've aged about 20 years from being so into this like nightlife scene.
World. Yeah.
And I had to actively, and I kind of went the opposite way, where it turned into a bit of a granddad and just didn't do anything for years. Like, I didn't want to go out and didn't want to, do you know what I mean? And yeah, it's one of them things that, like, there's so many people now.
I follow
now
this Instagram called The Holistic Psychologist, and I think she would call that healing. That's healing, going within, being your inner grandparent. totally fine. Sorry to cut you off.
No. But just on that, she's like a really far right. There's like a whole world.
Is she?
Yeah. There's a whole thing around her and all of the people she's connected to and funded by. So a lot of the stuff.
Why did you tell me that?
Because there's someone else that basically they've done a big thing about her, and they're like the same. I'm gonna try and find it.
She does have kind of that like conservative sort of like, as politically conservative, like pull yourself up by the bootstraps and keep going kind of thing. But I mean, there's part of me that's actually drawn to that attitude about self-management.
Yeah.
But I wish I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I want to know?
Well, I can give you the wellness therapist.
Give me the article. The wellness therapist.
So she's like the opposite. She's like the left wing version.
Okay.
And she's the one that, because I followed her for ages, and then I came across her, and she's like uncovered
she
loads of
her.
The stuff. Yeah. And I was like, and then you see how easy it is to get dragged into those.
Isn't
you know,
she
those,
gay
like,
though?
Conspiracy hole. I don't think so.
No, the holistic therapist is gay. I don't understand that. How can you have an experience of being other in society and like end up being
Matthew? Like, don't make our guest spiral.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Conservatively, right? I'm spiraling, guys.
No.
You've ruined my whole. No. I'm joking. That's disappointing. I'm going to look into that. The wellness therapist, her name is.
Okay. Is it the.wellness.therapist or something?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. She's great. Yeah.
Don't look at the holistic therapist, listen. Yeah. Don't look at her.
So to quickly go back to what you were saying about that conversation, I know you said you were getting frustrated with your friend in terms of like them not helping themselves. And I really relate to that in a way, because I know, especially with Matthew, I'm sure he'll say to you, I can be probably more on the firm side, and I'm very practical as well. Like, I like to have ways of getting out of things, and I like to, you know, process things. And it's very difficult to see your friends when you feel like you have the answer for them, but then they're just not doing it. And this isn't specifically for Matthew, I'm not saying that either.
Drag me.
but with anyone, loved ones, anything, and it can be really difficult to switch off from that, and you feel kind of, I felt like sometimes I can resent people for not, you know, taking advice or whatever, even though sometimes I don't take my own advice. but did your friend ever share what helped them get out of that spiral that they were in, or that period?
I don't know, actually. I think he decided to love himself. Just like, it's an act of self-love. And it can take us a while to get there. But, you know, I think that's what happened. He just exercised an act of self-love. He got to a point. I mean, he bottomed out. He got to a point, and then he was like, right, it's either continue with this or decide to like just show a modicum of love to myself. And he did that, and then that's just like one little step, and then another step, and another step, and another step. And I mean, what a gift.
I
think that's what he did. And so, I mean, I don't think, like, he didn't go to therapy. He didn't do any of the, like, the cornerstone things, like, he just one day woke up and decided to love himself a little bit, and then the next day he could love himself a little bit more, and the next day a little bit more than that. And it just snowballed on from there, and he pulled himself out of it. And I think I think we're all capable of that.
I'm really pleased to hear thank you for sharing this all with us.
So you've spoken in interviews before about feeling pressure and anxiety before your performances, before posting on Instagram, etc., and sometimes feeling out of place in some situations that you're in. Do you find anything that helps you when you are feeling anxious in those moments?
I mean, no. this is actually like what I'm currently trying to work that out. I mean, I haven't been on socials for almost 3 months now, because I didn't want to be. It's not so much the act of posting that gives me anxiety anymore, but it's just the generation of content, and it was robbing me of life, and the anxiety about the fact that I hadn't yet today generated any content, and what was I going to post? This just took up such a disproportionate amount of my days, and I wasn't doing it for me, and then that meant that by the time it came to posting, I'd post and be like, that was shit, and that was uninspired, and why did I do that? It's a fucking Instagram post. Who the fuck cares? Like no one's going to remember this. Like, no one pays as much attention as you do to anything you do. It doesn't really matter who you are, and if they do, they forget about it very quickly. I'm not a social butterfly. I think I wanted to be one, and so I was putting myself in two situations that I'm not naturally built for, and therefore feeling anxiety. I think what I'm starting to learn now, and it's unfortunate because it, in a way, or at least at the point that I am, I don't think it stays like this, but at the point that I'm now, it feels potentially a little limiting, because there's certain things I just can't do, or certain things I just probably shouldn't do. And if I know if I do them, then I'm going to get anxiety. Now, obviously going on stage and stuff like this is not that. Usually when I would have anxiety about going on stage, it's just, that's just about that. That was about self-esteem. Not the fabulous art of self-esteem, but my own self-esteem. She drove me crazy. That was just about not feeling that, imposter syndrome. I think a lot of people, I mean, to the extent that there is anything that I do, I have always, since I was a teenager, and when I know better, meditate. And I try and become present, and I try and accept what is. I'm really on that theme at the moment, accepting what is. Not just because I think it's the secret. Like, let's say I'm on stage, I fuck up, I forget the lyrics. My reaction to that is like, oh my God, I forgot the lyrics. I cannot forget the lyrics. I keep forgetting lyrics. And my reaction to that is like, oh, I mean, forgetting lyrics. Well, it's just another show out of like hundreds. It's fine. Then I stop forgetting lyrics, everything's fine. I don't remember, nobody else remembers, and probably noticed. So anxiety for stage, it was, you know, for me actually wasn't necessarily before stage, it would be after stage. When I came off stage, and I would have seen one person in the audience not bobbing their head, and I would have been like, they hate it. I am terrible, that person hates me. Just because I went smiling, and then, I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed your face at a gig, but I am deadpan. I look like I'm in the grave, even if I'm having a great time. And then I would get off stage, and I would beat myself up about that, and it's just ridiculous. So that's just a lot of ego, and that's a lot of like everybody's, and I'm missing the point of stuff. So that's just a bit of spiritual development that I did there. But in terms of, you know, social anxiety or being on Instagram or Twitter or social media, this sort of stuff, the solution that I have come up with is just don't do it. Yeah. or be prepared to face and literally prepare myself to deal with the anxiety that I will I will definitely feel. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am right now. But I don't believe, based on the experience of observing other people that have, you know, done work on themselves and developed as human beings, I don't think I will necessarily stay there always. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, some people are just the life of the party. Some people just have the gift of the gab and can charm the shit off you. They tell a story and it's like the most fascinating thing you've ever heard. And other people just, they might be like that with certain people, or once you get to know them, and I'm more that type of person.
Yeah.
Even though I really want to be the other type of person. And maybe I just, that's like, why can't I be happy being the way that I am and just sort of design a life that celebrates that and allows that to flourish, rather than trying to be like this other person that I've seen that I really admire, that I think is fabulous. God, if I was just like them, I'd like to be. You know, waste of time. Look at what you've got. Stop devaluing the things you don't like. And refocus on that and build a garden around that and water that and nourish that, nurture that. And slowly the right people come into your life, the right situations come into your life. And gradually these situations that make you feel uncomfortable, they just start melting away. That is what I think happens. So it gets easier. Yeah. You just don't find yourself in those situations anymore because you naturally just don't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all of the questions we've got for you. What I want to know, we're going to take it up a little bit.
Go.
You've had a load of rest. Hopefully you're feeling good after Islands has come out.
Music.
Well, okay, next question was what are you doing next? Like, how are you feeling about the rest of the year? Have you got anything exciting you've got coming up?
I'm just working on a new record, and I've kind of exhausted all back catalogue that I would, because there was a hiatus between my first two albums and I had a lot of music. So it was very easy to quickly finish off albums, because rather than having to write a whole album, I just write the four or five songs that were missing from the, and put it all together. But now I'm back. I'm like blank page and I'm starting again. And I'm curious for the first time in a very long time to see, do I have a different sound now? Do I have different lyrics? Like, what is this? So I'm taking my time with that and I'm enjoying it. And I'm doing a lot of work, like a lot of writing for other people as well, which I have put on hold for about 6 years, hadn't really done a lot of writing with others. And so I'm back doing that again, which is like wonderful. Writing with other artists for them is a great experience. Really, really, really great experience. So I'm doing that. And then I'm also working on my own body of work. But that is at this point, whilst I think I've got some absolutely beautiful songs that I'm really happy with that have come out of the last couple of months, it's also, I'm not like, great, well, this is the direction. I really want to take my time with this and see.
Yeah.
And see what, because I do feel like I'm in a space of change right now. Mm-hmm. And that needs to, that rather than rushing things, which might've been what I've done all the time. I'm like, well, I wanted this thing. And like, so I'll try and stop the change and I'll just work on this thing. So I keep going and see where we get to. So just basically taking my time, working with other people, and I am working on new body of work. But just taking it easy.
Is there anyone you'd want to work with, either with your own work or to write for? Is it like...
Oh my God, there's so many people.
I know that's a big question, isn't it?
there's so many people that I would like to do. Like, that. Do you know what? I'll start with the most ludicrous and ambitious one. I would really, really, really love to write a song for Rihanna. That would be incredible, just because her song was Diamonds, which I covered, was such a big part of my thing. And she is just my, like, and always has been my favorite. She's my favorite pop star. Rihanna is just, I think she's like flawless. And I would love to work with Sia, because she wrote Diamonds. So those are two. I'd love to, there's a lot of newer artists, newer, but by no means like small. I'd love to work with King Princess. I think she's amazing. I'd love to work. I did actually do some writing with Troye Sivan years ago. I'd love to work with him again because I think he's a fully fledged like he has a fully fledged artistic identity now, which is which would be really, really wonderful to inhabit that world. Because that's what, I mean, you go and you sit there and it's like, you sort of have to leave. You have to feel what their world and stuff is about. And it's really fun. And do you know what? I also really like, I love writing like melodic hooks for cheesy dance bangers.
Love it.
So I love to do work with, the snobby me would be like crappy EDM DJs, but like the rest of me would be like geniuses. I would love to work with some of those geniuses.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna name any names, but those are sorts of songs that I would love to be writing. And I'm satisfied with like the sort of stuff that I'm going now. It's just we'll see what rooms are going to. Every session leads to another session, so it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that. We interviewed Lapsley last summer.
Lapsley is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I got obsessed with her. And as we were chatting about it, and I think just before the interview, it was when Out had come out, the Charlie XCX, and like she'd written on it. And I was like, if you'd have like said to me, I'll give you £1 million if you can guess out of these three people, she would have been the last person from like from the view I had of her before then, and like before we spoke to her, that would write something like that. And she was like, yeah, it was fun. Like, you know, we all went to the studio, and now she's like, we spoke about her being way more open on social, and she's like found her identity and all these different things. But similarly, she was just like, it was a load of fun. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously, it's a very different song than she would have on her own album. But
That's the amazing thing about writing with other people. You can just like forget about this, like, who am I meant to be? And just be whatever the fuck you want. You can be, you know, like it is, it's really fun. Yeah. And it can help like it can help expand your own horizons for you, like for the rest of your life as well. You're like, oh shit, I didn't think of that was potentially part of me. That's part of me. That's amazing. Let's do that more often.
So we're gonna get some EDM next album, is that what you're saying?
Probably. I'm not sure if my artistic identity is going to move in the direction of EDM. But I wouldn't mind writing some and even seeing it. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I love that.
Yeah. No, honestly, I love hearing that. I can't wait. Whatever it is that comes next.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Joseph, because honestly, as I mentioned at the start, like, it was nice to be able to fangirl, but also talk about on a deeper level. There's, you know, so many times you'll watch something or listen to something and you have to take it as your own interpretation, and to be able to unpick some of his work like that and get, like, the inside of you.
What a privilege.
Yeah. No, it is very, very special. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Joseph.
One thing I will mention before our positive thing of the day is Calm, Campaign Against Living Miserably. Mm-hmm. Like, started a new campaign, or they launched a new campaign last Thursday or Wednesday, about suicide. And so it's kind of like a visual, like a video, and it shows people's, the last photos before they died by suicide. And they're all very seemingly happy. And it's just very touching, because it's kind of like you watch all these photos kind of flash on the screen, and at the end it's kind of like tells you that this is the last photos before they died. And then they also did an exhibition on South Bank last week, I think it was from Thursday to Sunday, which again just looked really, really powerful. We'll put the link to the video on our website and in the episode description, but definitely check it out. And also, yeah, I think we just need to change the way we see suicide or suicidal behaviour, that it is just people that are feeling or looking low. They can just be your everyday people that are looking positive and happy. And so, yeah.
So that is very almost your lot. But to round it off, our positive thoughts, things of the week. Yeah. So, Miss B, what's yours?
So I had a day trip home yesterday, and it was my mum's birthday and my nephew Henry's birthday. He's 10. I can't believe he's 10 years old. And I left the trip home with some gorgeous rhubarb from my mum's allotment.
Oh, gorgeous.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that is really nice.
What is yours?
Yesterday, me and Layla went out for a bit of a walk, a bit of a catch-up, which was lovely. The weather was very nice. We had the coffee, we had a gorgeous poached egg bap, believe it or not.
Hold on. A poached egg bap. Yeah. Bap meaning like bread roll?
Yeah, they called it a bap. I personally would not say a bap, but it was a bap. Anyway, it was poached egg, rocket, a delicious sauce on it. It's very tasty. Anyway, side note. While we were out, there's a really nice shop on Chatsworth Road. One of them that just has all sorts of shit. Do you know, like, vintage bits. It's got plate. It's got, like, glass jars. All sorts knick-knacks. Of different things. Yeah, knick-knacks. We saw something outside that, like, caught our eye just as a little, oh, isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. And then, before we know it, we're rooting through inside all of these different things. I managed to get myself vintage Japanese crockery. So I got a pack of chopsticks that from the 1970s. I got two little miso bowls, like edamame bowls. Ramen spoons, like wooden ramen spoons. Again, all from like the 70s and 80s. Yeah, and I don't know why anyone would know this. I've not mentioned it, but Japanese food's my fave.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel like I'm fully equipped.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Are you going to become a chef as well?
We'll see. Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. You've got the equipment now. All the gear, yeah, no idea.
Exactly, literally that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's me.
So that's your lot. Finally. So
there
sorry.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah. We might be back next week, you never know. We did tell you last time that we're going to be at the Gay Liberation Front March on Friday the 1st, which we're still planning to go to. So if you're going to be there, see you there, sweethearts.
Mm-hmm.
If not, catch you around, just around the towns.
Yeah, around the towns in Everton. Don't forget, loves, you're doing amazing, sweetie.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
And see you next time.
Kisses.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.